Our second scripture reading this morning comes from Philippians 1, verses 15 through 26. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in my body. In convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing and understanding of his word this morning.
Forgive me for the coughing a little bit this morning. I came home from Florida with a double ear infection. I'm on antibiotics and all that sort of stuff, and there's some drainage, and it tickles my throat, and I cough a little bit. I was also tested for COVID, and I'm negative, so I just want you to know that, just so you're aware of what's going on. So if I cough a little bit during the sermon, just forgive me for that. The next 4 weeks, I wanted to do something with one verse in Scripture as I deal with this idea of how do we love God because He loves us so much. And in the Gospel of Mark, which is basically echoed from the Old Testament on several occasions, in chapter 12, verse 30, which we used as our prayer of confession this morning, that to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I wanted to take each of those, heart, soul, mind, and strength, and deal with them each Sunday over the next four Sundays. And I want to deal with the heart, first of all, this morning. You know, when I think of the heart, if something deep in my heart, I think of the word passion. And I find it interesting when we get to a later part of the Christian year when it comes to Good Friday, that it's called the Passion. And I think when I think of the word passion, I think, you know, passionate. I think emotional. I think something that's deep down in the heart. And it's ironic that we call the crucifixion the Passion of Christ. But yet it's not ironic, because when you think about it, He was so passionate about His people that He was willing to do anything and everything He could in order to take care of what it is they needed. So when I look at it in that context and use passion in that light, I think, you know, it's very appropriate that we call it the Passion of Christ. But I have a question for us in light of this part of the encouragement for us to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart. I think of passion. He wants us to have a passion for Him. And I wonder what our passions are if we named our passions. You know, there's nothing wrong with having passions if you put them in context. David in the Scriptures loved music. He was very musical. He wrote a lot of songs. He sang a lot of songs. He played for King Saul. He was a musical person, so he's passionate about music. Esau loved hunting. Peter loved fishing. Abel loved gardening. These were passions of theirs. Solomon loved wives. Oops. Should have been Solomon loved wife. But as you know, he had multiple of those. But we all have these passions in our life, and there's nothing wrong with these passions if they're put in context. If they're put in a certain context. I wanted to read for you real quick just a couple of verses out of Titus chapter 2, starting with verse 11, and here's what it says. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify us for himself, a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. If you look at those verses, you see someone who was passionate about something. He was passionate about you. He was passionate about me. I want us to get that. Just how passionate God is about us. I imagine there are a lot of times in your life you don't feel very passionate about yourself. You don't think you're worth much. You just don't think much of yourself. But you know, God doesn't think that way. Even in the mess you and I might find ourselves in, He is passionate about you. He is passionate about me. But I want to dovetail just for a moment into worldly passion. See, we have passions sometimes that are wrongly centered. Because you see, a passion that neither glorifies God nor satisfies self really is a worldly passion. Because I'll tell you what, a worldly passion never satisfies. Think about that for a moment. A worldly passion will ultimately, I should say, never satisfy. It may start with satisfaction, but it doesn't last. See, worldly passions have a short shelf life. But a passion for God has a very long shelf life, actually has an eternal shelf life. A worldly passion is ungodly by definition because it's worldly. It's all about here. It's all about now. It's not about Him. It's temporary in nature because of its very existence. And it leads ultimately to emptiness. A worldly passion does. And so when I ask ourselves what our passion is, maybe I had to ask myself and you as well, does that passion that I have in any way, shape, or form lead to bringing glory and honor and praise to God? 1 Peter 1:8 talks about a joy inexpressible. It talks about a joy that I can't even explain to you. A joy inexpressible. And that's the kind of passion that you and I ought to have for God. And if that joy that we have in our hearts, that joy that is inexpressible, is there, it by extension wants to be a life that honors God. A life that does what God wants us to do. Not a life that is centered on what I want to do, but a life that's totally centered on Him. And that's what Mark says when he shares with us in that text, to love the Lord your God with all your heart. All your passion. Where your passion is, there your heart is. Look at Paul. Here is Paul in prison, and he's talking about his passion for people. He was, even though there were people who were actually hanging around that had wrong motives, and they were still preaching Christ, but they had selfish motives involved. He says, I don't care in the end. Really what matters is that Christ is preached, whether from wrong motives or right motives, Christ is preached. And maybe God can even take those wrong motives and make something beautiful out of it. But ultimately he said, I have joy. And in this verse, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Here is someone who has passion about the one whom he's serving. Paul had passion about Jesus Christ. He had passion about God. He had passion about the people around him. He could have been looking at his own circumstances. Someone who was a prisoner, he could be looking at that and saying, woe is me, why is this happening? God, why am I in this fix? Why am I in this mess? No, instead, he points it all back to God and says, oh, what a joy it is to serve you. Even here. Even while in prison. You know, perhaps the main reason that we may not experience joy is because we don't pursue it. Our pursuit is too weak. Maybe the main reason that you and I don't have joy and passion is because we aren't pursuing it much at all. Some people have this understanding that all we have in Christ is fire insurance. You know, the reason why I gave my life to Christ is so I wouldn't go to hell. That makes sense too, doesn't it? Because I don't want to go to hell. But they've lost out on the full dynamic of what it means to be a follower of Christ. It's not so I don't go to hell, but it's because I can enjoy that which God created for my enjoyment. When He created us, He said it was very good. And all that He created, He said was good, so that we can enjoy it in Christ because we understand why it was created. It was created for us so that we could give glory and honor and praise to God because of the beautiful creation He's created for us to rule over, for us to take care of, for us to live in the context of. That's what He gave for you and for me. And that's why it should be much easier for us to have a passion for Him, because He has a passion for us. So how do you start? How do you start if you want to have a passion for Him? Well, it starts with a relationship with Him. It doesn't start with 50 or 60 or 70 years of sitting in a pew. I could sit in a pew my whole life. I could do all the church stuff my whole life. I could do all those things my whole life and still have no passion for God. Because it starts, first of all, with understanding how much God is passionate about me. And He is so passionate about me and about you because of what He did on the cross of Calvary. That's how passionate He is about us. Willing to pay a price that few of us would ever want to pay. He paid that for us. He is passionate about us. He doesn't care about what you've done in the past. He doesn't care what you've done even up to the present. He wants to take you and me as we are because He's passionate about us. And transform us into the human being He wants us to be. Where we can really experience joy. And where we can know a passion that knows no understanding. So we start in Christ. Change our diet from worldly passion to a godly one. You see, that's a choice we should make. To change our diet from a worldly passion to a godly one. Do I honor God with my passion? Is the first question I ought to ask. Do I honor God with my passion? You know, I could be passionate about some things. For instance, if I'm passionate about sports, why don't I invite a friend who doesn't know Christ to watch sports with me? At some point over time, maybe I have a chance to share with them that somehow more important than sports is. You see, a passion like that can be a godly passion, right? Because if I'm using my passion, the passion I have, for God's glory ultimately, or say it's fishing, why not take a child who doesn't have a dad and you go fishing with them and let them know the joy of fishing, and while you're doing that, you share with them, you know what? There's a father that loves you more than any earthly father could love you. And you could share with them your passion that way. Or maybe it's hunting. I was just thinking of some things you could do if you had a passion. A wild game feast. And when you invite people to... I know some churches that have done that, by the way. Church in Norway that did wild game feasts. And when people come to that wild game feast and share all their hunting stories, they share with them, too, something that's more important than hunting. The one who hunted them down and loves them dearly, Jesus Christ. Maybe you have a passion. Oh, I'm speaking maybe some ladies. Guys probably got the same thing. Passion for shopping. How many of you have a passion for shopping? Oh, you don't want to admit it. How about if you have a passion for shopping, then when you're out there shopping, shop for some needy people. When you're out there shopping, you have such a passion for shopping, maybe when you're shopping, make sure that you're shopping for some people who might have some needs. You know, while I'm here, I think I could get this for this person, and I might get this for that person. You see how a passion that you might have can be used for God's glory? Anything that we have as a passion, I think, can be turned in a way that it brings honor and glory and praise to God, as opposed to a worldly passion that's only thinking about my own needs and what they are. Ask yourself if we're keeping God on the throne or we keep taking Him off the throne. You know, that's a daily thing for me. Because sometimes I want to start the day with me as being the most important person. It shouldn't be. I need to start the day with God being the most important. And everything else will fall in place. Ask yourself, is God your passion? Does coming to church, for instance, recharge you? Or is it an exercise? Some people come to church because That's what I'm supposed to do. Done it my whole life. That's what I'm supposed to do. But I ask you and myself the question, does coming to church recharge you, or is it just an exercise? If it's an exercise, just an exercise, then it's not a passion. But if you come to church to get recharged, then it's a passion. And boy, in the world we live in today, we have created an atmosphere where the devil is trying to take the church away from folks. You know, through the whole COVID experience, you can have church by just listening to it. That's good. That's good. And I'm glad we do it. I praise God that God used technology through COVID for us to reach out to people we wouldn't reach before. But I'll tell you what, there's nothing quite like being together and being passionate about God together in church. And the devil's doing his best to keep us away from that, because the army's not as strong when we're apart as they are when we are together. Is God in every area of our life? Does giving in abundance of our prayers, by our presence, by our gifts, by our service, even this whole thing, you know, churches hate talking about money. To me, it's never about a budget. It's all about ministry. I don't want to ever talk about a budget. That's what they do out there in the world. We're talking about opportunities to reach out to the world. That's what this is all about. Oh, it includes things like we like to heat the church. You don't want to be here 40 degrees in the winter, do you? No, you want to heat the church. I hope maybe you want a pastor, so I mean, you know. Yeah, you know, all that sort of stuff, it's part of it. But it's about ministry, is what it's about. That's it. That's all. Nothing more. Does sin eat away at you to the point that you have to address it immediately or not? This is the thing I want to bring out of this. If I have a passion for God, God knows that I'm a fallen human being and that I am a sinner saved by grace, and sometimes I slip and I fall. But ask yourself this question: when you slip and you fall, are you immediately aware that you slip and you fall and you want to come back to Jesus? That you really want to, you know, does God convict you right away? I hope He does, and I hope you sense that, because that's telling me that you have a passion for God. And yeah, you slipped. And yeah, I slipped. God, forgive me for my slip and help me to do the right thing next time. That is a gauge for your passion, your heart for God. What about David? I mean, you remember David and what he did and the horrible things he did, but later on he's called a man after God's own heart. That's what he said about David. Do you hunger to learn more? Do you want to get into His Word? It's not enough for you to come on a Sunday morning and listen to a pastor preach and refer to Scripture and speak in light of that. That's not enough. Would you want to just eat one meal a week, physically speaking? Would that last you? No. We need God every day. And a lot of what we need is reading His Word to get food, spiritual food, and prayer, and Christian fellowship. We need that throughout the week, not just on Sunday morning. It's not enough on Sunday morning. You'll end up being a starving Christian, and you can be a well-nourished Christian. So when I talk about all these passions we have, maybe family is your passion. I hope your family is your passion. Family has always been my passion, and my passion is that every one of my kids and grandkids and great-grandkids, and however many God blesses us with, they all come to know the thing I'm passionate about, and that's Jesus Christ. I don't care if they ever like U of M or Michigan State. Congratulations, U of M, yesterday. God, give me some team that can win, please. Because I'm passionate about it, but I'm more passionate about you. If your passion takes you away from fellowship with believers and God, then you need to stop making that your passion and instead making something else your passion. I just want you to have a heart for God, folks, this morning. I want you to take the first part of that Mark 12:30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. May it be your passion. And then we're going to talk some more next week and the next 2 weeks after that about these other words as a part of that statement that is made. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. If you love Him that way, I'll tell you what, you're going to enjoy a life that is fulfilling and satisfying. Let's pray. God, thank You for today. Thank You for the honoring of our loved ones that have gone home to be with You. Thank you for the privilege of considering what we can do in the ministry of the church for the following year. Thank you for songs. Thank you for prayer. Thank you for your word and the message. We just thank you for everything this morning. God, you're good. Help us to be passionate about that because we know you're passionate about us. We just pray that in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's turn in closing to hymn number 106. Praise Him. Praise Him. Would you stand with me as we sing?